My nursing career began over 10 years ago. It was over on the East Coast. I went right out of school into the ICU. I figured I'd like to get beat up. The truth is, I wanted a challenge. I wanted to find the sickest people, and I did. So the majority of ICU care that I had performed was cardiac surgeries. Whether it was the East Coast down in Seattle or here in Alaska, I recovered open hearts. I found a great passion in that, and the passion that rivaled it was teaching other newer, younger nurses to do the same thing. Now, the story that changed my life and has stayed with me ever since it occurred and will be until the day I die was several years ago. It was during the Delta storm, one of the high waves of COVID. The overflow wards were full. There were dozens of ventilators in the ICU. I had been charged for several years already. I was charged that night. It was around 2 or 3 a.m. It was a thick, dark, oppressive night. One of those Alaskan nights where you couldn't see outside the windows. And even now, I'm walking there in my memory. The hallways are dimmed, but there's this ephemeral white light pouring out of room 215. The bay doors are open. Now, what makes a good cardiac ICU nurse? They're advocates. They're fighters. They don't give up. They keep pushing and pushing and going. And that's what Marcy was doing in that room this night. She was fighting for her patient's life. As I crossed the threshold, I stood next to Dr. Maxwell, who, a wise old heart surgeon, who wouldn't just do any surgery unless they really needed it. And there she lay, this tough fighter of a patient, still on the ventilator, breathing, bucking the vent. The monitors buzzing, the pumps beeping, everything whirling. We're trying again and again, me, Marcy, and Dr. Maxwell, who came in that night just out of care from his heart, as every ICU intervention fell short, was futile. We tried our best. Heart rate Brady, lower, lower, blood pressure lower, VFib, cardiac arrest, all the lines go flat. But if you're a cardiac ICU nurse, the story does not end there. And what did I say? Cardiac ICU nurses, they're ahead of the curve, and that's what I brought with me, the open chest cart. So the unspoken green light, in synchronicity, me and Dr. Maxwell knew, after heart surgery, you gotta get in that chest. I pulled out the first drawer, threw him the gown and gloves, and in a flurry of motions that I can't even still quite remember, I was gloved and gowned up. I handed him the green scalpel. That color, dark faded green, will be etched in my mind. With his surgical finesse, after we laid the drape, he made a cut from the manubrium down to the xiphoid. I already had the steel box in my other hand as we threw it at the foot of the bed. In that box, the three tools that you need, you have the wire cutters, the wire pullers, and the sternal retractors. I handed him like clockwork the wire pullers as I held the wire cutters. There's about 5 or 6 stainless steel that hold that sternum together after heart surgery. They're coming off. He held the wire, held it up tight. I cut. It goes through the steel like butter. He holds the second. I cut. He pulls. He holds. I cut. He pulls. 3, 4, 5, 6 stainless steel wires out of the sternum. But we still got to get in that chest. It's tight. The chest has to be tight. It's got to protect you your whole life. So I had the sternal retractor, and of course, it's not put together. Of course, it's not put together in the OR kit. But some guiding grace, I have it in hand. I got it right where it needs to be, and it takes some effort, but me and Maxwell hold that chest, pull, and slide that metal underneath the bone. I can still feel the winch in my right hand as I crack and crack and crack against that pressure, and I look and behold below me, there is a massive cardiac tamponade, a pool of blood, as I'm beholding below me, pressing against that heart. My incredible team hands me the sterile suction. I shove it into the chest cavity, 0.5 liter, 1 liter, over 1 liter of blood out of that chest cavity. Huge, giant congealed clots adhering to the myocardium. Maxwell reaches his hands down and scoops it out throws it down on the bed. John goes, "Is that blood?" We're not done yet. That heart fibrillating its pathetic lethal dance as I scoop down in over 10 years of work, all that passion and symbolism now, as I hold that heart in my hand, that human heart, and slowly compress it, that internal cardiac massage. You push down ever so lightly. I felt it fill up with blood. Push down again, fill up with blood. As Maxwell gets the internal defibrillator paddles ready, I tell Dan, "Get that charged. The Zoll knows exactly where it needs to go, 50 joules. And then together we grab each paddle, sandwich it, that heart, and then sure enough, 3, 2, 1, electricity arc, psh, kick, we knock that V-fib out. And through that bloody mess, our bated breath, I couldn't believe it, less than 25% chance, it starts beating, that beautiful sinus rhythm. I'm looking at that human heart, atrium ventricles working in graceful motion, bringing back life. We put the gauze back in. The CTOR team beautifully reconstructs her. The amazing ICU team recovers her again. I do not lie. She was extubated the next day, out of the ICU that week, and went home. Now, things in nursing really come full circle. So several years later, when my father had his heart attack on the East Coast and was recovered in the same ICU that I started in, and he was taken off of the ventilator after heart surgery, his nurse, Justin, looked at him and said, "Hey, Aaron, your son taught me how to recover hearts."